All right, guys, and welcome to another edition of our Forgecast. I'm Lovecore.
Melican.
Meridian.
And we are here today. We're on podcast 7. So we've got a bunch of stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff has happened in the community, in the Soulforge community this past few weeks. Obviously, the biggest one being PC beta. We finally saw a PC, and I'm using the air quotes. You can't see them, everybody. PC beta.
Beat me to it.
Let's just kind of go around the room here, and let's touch on our thoughts on that. Mine, personally, is I am not impressed. But I was also ready to be not impressed by the beta.
We were warned.
Yes, we were warned ahead of time that we were going to see the original iOS version of the game. That being said, and, you know, they warned us ahead of time that we were going to have just the two decks, and it was just going to be what it is, and we weren't going to have this polished iOS version we have now. I'm okay with that, but I'm also, on the flip side, a little disappointed, too. I feel they probably should have seen a bit more of an iteration between the iOS 1.5, as people are calling it, and the 2.0. I feel like there was probably a middle ground they could have hit, maybe with the decks in it or something of the sort, especially given the framework it was written on. It actually kind of lends itself to rapidly developing things like this. I feel like they missed, I don't know, I guess feel like they missed their opportunity to really wow the PC people who have been waiting for this for a while.
I wouldn't even be concerned about wowing the PC people. I think they're angry now. You're now behind.
Yes, they are. They're just appeasing the PC
Here's
players.
Here's the beta. You are behind the iOS.
Yeah. So, I mean, it goes both ways. Yes, I'm happy to have it. So, as everybody knows, I've been streaming it as much free time as I possibly can. And it's just, I don't know, it's a letdown. Meridian, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you make a point that those of us that were reading the last Kickstarter update totally expected this. Those who kickstarted a bunch of money in the beginning and then never paid attention because they didn't have an iPad had a bit of a surprise.
Yeah.
And it's not the only surprise. Even the people that we were informed about where it'd be at, but there's a couple things that have come to light. One of the things I've read about on the forums is a lot of people having trouble with Windows XP.
Yes.
Which to me, we talked about the fact that, all right, yes, this is a beta, this is meant to be unfinished software. But the whole point of that is that your testers know, here's the problems. There was no patch note, there was no release note, there was nothing beforehand saying, oh yeah, if you get XP, don't bother.
Right.
And I think the community, the vocal community, is pissed. And they are. And they're letting everybody know about it. I think there's a lot more people out there who are trying to be patient, but are not getting the information they need to set their expectations at the right level. And the other problem that I have is the kind of lack, and I touched on this before with the iPad version, it's a beta, where's the bug report?
Yeah.
Where's my send you a bug feature? Where
yes.
is the
my
call
suggestion
out for
feature.
What you're looking
yes.
for?
And hopefully we will see those. I mean, I think ideally what I would like to see is I would like to see the iOS at a halt. I think that it's a great demo as it is. Stop putting your fucking
Stop
time
paying
in there.
That
Knock
guy,
that shit off.
Bring them over to the PC.
Yes. And now start really pouring your time into the PC beta. Air quotes beta.
You bring up another interesting point, which is that anybody who hadn't been paying attention, who didn't have an iPad, now has a product that they paid for, in some cases a considerable amount of money.
Yes, yes, yes.
That is behind, fairly considerably behind, what they could have had a month ago if they had
bought
an iPad.
Exactly.
And I think Stoneblade, you know, the Kickstarter is great. You got a great community. You got a lot of people who stepped up and put down some money and helped make this happen. You have to take care of them. You have to make them your first priority because they're the ones who are responsible for you even being where you're at, and they're going to be your core audience going forward.
Right.
You can't sell them down the river just so that you can get some more attention at a con because iPads look cooler than PCs.
Yeah.
You can't sell them out like that, and I think a lot of people are rather justifiably upset at how they feel they've been treated after having contributed so much to getting this game off the
ground. Right, right. And another thing that, you know, while I was sifting through the forums and everything else that was brought up is that there are actually a few people, not a lot, but there are a few that they're actually kind of mad that it went through Steam. I, you know, one of the one that most recently sticks in my head is there was a guy, or a girl for that matter, who was very upset that they had to sign up for a Steam account because they've never had Steam before and they didn't quite understand why they needed two accounts, so to speak, to get access to the game. They didn't want to have a Steam account as well as a Stoneblade account. So the fact that this person had to download both of those and then download the Steam, you know, framework, essentially the Steam system, to get the game and enter the key and everything was a big put off for them. They said that if they would have known it wasn't going to be on Steam, or it was going to be on Steam, they would not have backed it. Which I find kind of weird, because I'm more apt to back something if I know it's going to go through Steam. I'm actually a really big proponent of Steam. I think that this was the right decision from Stoneblade. They don't have to use any of their own resources to set up any type of infrastructure. They can push it out right through, any updates right through Steam. That way everybody across the whole board gets the updates and it gets there. It'll also help tie into purchasing, maybe even micro purchases inside the game, or purchasing the game with Steam, gift cards, that type of thing. So I'm okay with the fact that it's through Steam. I think a lot of people actually already had Steam, and anybody who didn't, they do now, and maybe they're happy with it. Maybe they didn't know what Steam was before this. So,
yeah, if you didn't have Steam before, go download a game called Team Fortress 2. It's free to play. It's amazing. It'll make you love Steam. No, there's a couple people who have called Steam bloatware, and I think that's a fair point. That's the only game you're playing on Steam is SoulForge, and yes, it feels like too much. I, however, think that they're jumping the gun because
I think so.
I really don't believe that Steam is going to be the only option here. I think it makes sense for them at this stage. Like you said, it allows them to skip having to set up some of the infrastructure and stuff. If you wanted this outside of Steam, we would have had to keep waiting for it.
Yeah.
That the fact is that without Steam, this would not have been in our hands right now. And yes, it's a trade-off, but I think it's a temporary trade-off. I think that as we get closer to actual launch, there will be more choice in platform and choice outside of platform. Once they have their own updater built, once they have their own infrastructure, they won't need Steam. I think Steam's a good thing for them, mm-hmm. to be clear. I think it brings in a lot of new eyes.
Yes.
And I love it. I've been using Steam for a while. All my friends are in Steam. I always have it open. All my games are in Steam. You know.
Yeah.
I can understand the arguments against it, but I don't see it being a permanent situation. I think that we might be overreacting a little bit at this point about Steam.
Steam itself. Any thoughts on that, Nelligan? You're a proponent of Steam or not so Steam?
Oh, I love Steam.
Yeah.
That's where Bastion came from. That game's amazing.
Oh, yeah, we're all big Bastion fans here. That's what I thought, too. I thought that you would probably be right on par with us.
Steam is just a... Welcome to a new world. Because Steam is just... This access to all these games that are amazing.
Yeah. The reason I really like it the most is because you have, you know, it'll be free to play through Steam, but it's also a good way, like you said, Meriden, to get eyes on the game. Greenlit projects, back, you know, that type of stuff, to get the game up and running in more people's PCs and more people's systems is great. The other thing, the nerdiness in me points out is that we will possibly also see SoulForge for Linux distro. and that's something I'm a big proponent of. And that also means we'll also probably see a Mac distro as well, which, again, awesome. So
apparently you're an optimist today.
Today I'm an optimist, folks. That's not usually a thing of mine. Yeah.
You brought up a very interesting point earlier, which I think ties into this, which is the framework that they're building on. That they've selected this framework that is built primarily upon Python and SDL in an effort to more easily target multiple platforms. It appears to be a cross-platform rapid development tool, which for the uninitiated means that they can reuse a lot of their same work between platforms and attempt to get it onto more platforms quickly. Now, I'll be honest, I don't see an official Linux version coming.
I think it's knock it off.
I think it's within their capabilities. I absolutely do. But I don't think that they're going to spend the time on it.
I don't think so either, and I think that's...
The Mac version's a different case.
Yeah,
and it shouldn't be, because they're just about the same.
Yeah, I know.
But I think they're going to be looking at their audience, looking at the time they want to spend, and with this framework, it will allow them to build for Mac, will allow them to build for Android. They could technically build a Linux version without too much extra work, but
I don't see it coming. I'm pretty sure they may. Officially. Yeah, I don't think they even really know.
Now, we'll pull it off. I mean, You're already working on
it. Yeah, I'm already working on it.
I
think by the end of this week we're going to have a Linux version. So.
But in true Linux tradition, it's going to happen because of the community.
The user wants it.
Yes,
exactly.
The software writer originally decided.
That would be cool. Yeah. All right, so the next thing that I guess we're going to talk about now that we just got all of our PC hate out of us, we're going to start doing a section on these ForgeCasts every time we do a cast, and we're going to have a card of the week and a deck of the week. And for this first one, we actually asked Forge Gamers member Sayoman Reborn to pick the card for us, and he picked Flameblade Champion. Going forward, I would like anybody out there listening to this cast to either tweet at us with what card and deck he would like, use our deck builder and tweet it out at us, or hit us on Facebook, contact us on our website through the Contact Us, hit us on our Steam group, however you want to get out there and reach out to us, let us know, because we're actually just going to take cards suggested by the community and decks suggested by the community and do, our thoughts on them every week. So, to kick it off, the first thing we're gonna touch on is we're going to do the card of the week, which is Flameblade Champion. So, I don't know, let's start with Nelican on this one. Go ahead and
Let's mention that if you want to know, because anybody who's doing the PC beta,
I forget that all the time.
So if you want to see what Flameblade Champion is, go over to ForgeGamers.com, go to the card database, and look it up.
Yeah. For those of you that can't do it, I guess, right now, the stats on Flameblade are he's a 4/5 Tempsy creature, and when he deals damage to an opposing player, he also deals the same amount of damage as his power to every creature on the board.
So broken.
Yeah, it's very, very good. And then obviously that scales with his next level and his level after that. So let's go ahead, Nick, and kick us off with this.
Okay, what are the rest of his stats, first of all? He's a 4/5, then he's a 7/9?
Yep, and then he's, what is he after that? 12/14? 12/13?
All our devices are
being used right now. You got a Flameblade Champion on the board? No, you're killing me here. Hang on a second, let me look. My data's off. Here we've got, his next level, he is a 7/9. And then after that, he is a 12/16. Every time he gets through, you're doing his power to the opposing board, which is a very, very great way to wipe the board. It's good board control.
First of all, I think 4/5 is too strong.
I think
4/1. I think 3/5. 3/5. Because I don't like, because it used to be a 3/6. I don't like 3/6 either.
No.
He doesn't die anything.
He doesn't die either, right? I like 3/5.
I like 3/5. Because he doesn't kill everything. He kills, like, the hunting pack, which puts wolves in each lane and kills all of them. So I like the aspect, but the ability that he can just kill the average one drop is just not. That's not good. That's a huge tempo advantage.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I think, and I even actually, honestly, I think 4/5 is too much. I would rather see him as a 4/4. I think that given his ability...
How do we go to 3/5 to 4/5 to 4/4?
Well, he's a 4/5 right now.
Yeah, I say 3/5.
Oh, 3/5. So, 3/4? I think 5 toughness is too much.
And I think 4 attack is too much. So 3/4.
All right, I'll meet you halfway. So, 3/4 I think is really good. I think that makes... you're going to be able to trade with just about anything at that point. I mean, Hunting Pack isn't going to quite kill him off. But
no, I like
3/5. 3/5?
I got to go with 3/5.
I'm going to stick with 3/4.
Because 3/4 doesn't kill most things. 3 attack does not kill most things.
Right, but 4 toughness is my concern. Not the 5 toughness. The 3, his attack is fine.
But there are a lot of things with 5 attack that can kill him.
There are, but in the current card pool, there aren't that many. I mean, given our current card pool, I guess when we have all of our cards, I mean, you have what? Flesh Fiend can't kill him? I mean, you have the Glutton, you have...
Oh, there's a selection of level 1 that are at 4 attack, I think, probably more so than
5? Okay. All right, everybody's against me on this one, so we'll go with them on this, I guess. I still think 5 toughness. Still think 5 toughness is too much toughness, especially given his ability, and also given the combos. Go ahead, and we'll touch on obviously the best combo we so far.
Wind Caller Shaman
is when
move into a different lane, make sure that damage gets through.
Yes,
make sure in a lot of cases you wipe that board.
Yeah. So you know, the strength in Flame Blade is his attack. So he combos really good with Windcaller, undeniably good. He combos really good with Flamestroke Shaman. If you have an active Flamestroke Shaman on the board and you've positioned him properly and your opponent isn't expecting it, your Flameblade now has haste, or swiftness as it is.
He combos really well with any piece of removal.
He combos great with any piece of removal, for that matter. You're right. He combos amazing with Enrage, Hungering Strike, Primordial Surge, Fangwood Field. All of these cards that give you a bonus buff. Anything that would, you know, Ferocious Roar.
Anything that guarantees he kills everything on the other side.
Yes, is fantastic. Fantastic. So this card, I definitely feel, will probably see a lot of competitive play.
Oh, yes.
I wouldn't expect it to be kind of omitted in any Tempsey deck, really. I think that you'll always be able to find room for at least two of them.
I don't know. He needs to be built around.
You think he needs to be built around?
He needs to be built around a little bit, because not every Tempsey deck is going to want him and Windcaller Shaman. Some of them are just going to want to beat base.
Right, and that would be the situation where I would assume you would omit Windcaller Shaman.
Yeah, but without Windcaller Shaman...
Yeah, without Windcaller Shaman, you're still forced to deal with him. And, you know, he is a 4-5.
Well, I mean, right now, yes. Yeah. Because we can't just magically make him a 3-5 like he should be.
So I think that, you know, a level 1 4-5 is really good.
It is.
I still think he'll be a staple in almost every Tempsey deck.
With an ability like that, he's just broken.
Yeah, he's just very good. He's clearly going to be a rare when the game does release, and we do have some sense of how they're going to be doing their rares and uncommons and commons.
It could be a mythic or an epic style.
I hope we don't see those.
I would not be surprised if we did see those.
Oh, God, I hope we don't see those.
Every game does it now, though.
That doesn't mean Stoneblade has to do it. Just because Blizzard's jumping off a cliff doesn't mean Stoneblade has to, too.
Well, Magic has it, too, and every game that comes out now has that system.
I'm not a fan of this. That is a topic for a whole other cast. Actually, I feel like we may have actually casted on that in Episode 2?
I know we talked about it.
We talked about it. Right.
That was a while ago.
Okay. So, in my eyes, I think Stoneblade will always be a staple. I think he's definitely a 2 thumbs up from me.
Flameblade champion. Either.
Flameblade, what did I say?
Stoneblade.
Stoneblade champion. Hey, if you're out there, can you make a Stoneblade champion?
You didn't even say champion. You just said Stoneblade.
Oh, yeah, because...
Stoneblade's a good card.
Because, yeah. Well,
imagine how broken that card would be.
It'd be just as good as their PC demo.
Just a picture of, their headquarters.
Well, see, if they did have a card and it was based around their headquarters, it wouldn't have internet access. So,
yeah, and, you know, nobody would have ever seen it.
Nobody would have ever seen it because it wouldn't have made it out of the office.
None of the devs would ever play it.
Okay, but yeah, I think that Flameblade Champion, he gets 2 thumbs up in my book. I think he combos well, and this is going to sound weird. I kind of hope we get Anna's off track a bit, but I hope Hungering Strike gets a small little bump. I don't think +2/-2 is enough. I would like to see it +3/-3.
Sure.
And see it a little bit more useful, because I feel like that card combined... That's the card that, as weird as it sounds, sticks in my head when I think of Flameblade Champion. Mostly because I'm probably just a Necrom-oriented player. But I feel like Hungering Strike is a great, great form of removal that Tempsey could make good use of, especially giving this type of combo, or even Cinderfist, or...
I see where you're going.
You see what I mean? If you're able to remove a creature, or, you know, remove a creature from dealing damage and kind of omitting it for the time, and then buffing your own creature.
And with the way Tempsey works, and that, like, the one creature who deals double damage.
Right.
The other creature who deals... No, that guy doesn't matter.
The Lasher, deals... yeah, the Rage...
The yeah, one who deals damage, but it's set on his card. Yeah. Instead.
So, you know, Murden, did you have any thoughts on the Flameblade?
Yeah, I think you guys are pretty... I think that you don't have to build a deck around him in order for him to be useful, but that his strength can grow exponentially if you do. And that's the same problem with his attack. That's why I think nerfing on a single attack point would be such a huge change compared to nerfing a single health point, because... The way his mechanic works is that his attack ends up increasing exponentially if played properly. And, of course, we haven't seen him too much, and I haven't been playing a ton on the iPad, so it's hard for me to be really sure about this, but I think without the support cast to move him around or to clear the board in front of him, that he would be much less threatening. Maybe not much less, but it's something I'd be less worried about. And yeah, I think that the cards that are going to work well with him are, you know, fall into one of two categories. Those that are going to buff his attack and those that are going to let him get into a lane or clear out his lane where he can get through.
Right.
I think there's a lot of options for that. I really want to put the card.
Irani Bolt.
His name I forgot. Irani Bolt. I've got a whole bunch of cards that work with the Tempest faction that I think would be really great. But I think something that's going to be kind of good on him that people aren't really going to necessarily think about first is Breakthrough. And that you only, as far as I read the card, and I have not tested this, you only need to score that extra point of damage to trigger that ability.
To trigger the ability, right.
And
right.
So if you can get him to Breakthrough over whatever champion he's facing against, you can still trigger that, and you can find Breakthrough and buff in the same style of cards.
Yes, yes.
Buff and removal and buff and removal, I think, are his best friends. And played properly, he goes from being a card that could fit into a deck to a card that could just win games.
Yes, I agree.
Do you guys think that we'll see the card in its current state at release time, or do you think they will change it?
I think they'll change it.
I think they'll change it. I think.
I mean, it's already been changed once.
Yeah, they did change it.
Still experimental. They changed it right before he was released.
Yeah.
Right mm-hmm. before he came out.
Yeah, he's really, really good, and I do expect him to go through another iteration before he sees play.
Yeah, well, and that's, I mean, the reason that they're doing this whole beta phase is two-tiered. They want to test their software, but I think they also need to test card balance in a lot of different situations.
Yeah, but that's not for, testing card balance isn't something for the community to be doing. That's what they should be doing internally. They shouldn't be.
But do they have large enough data sets to really?
Yeah, that's
looking
my concern. Is I don't think
I don't want the community making the decisions, but the community is generating the data that's going to allow them to see.
Yeah, but you don't want to get in a situation where people who you have beta testers who get to play with the set before it even comes out, and then you have all these people who already know how the set works when it comes out.
Yeah, I think it's twofold. I think that they should be allocating a bunch of their resources to doing a lot of internal testing, but I also feel like that they should be, and we'll probably see this, I mean, there is going to be a beta backers tournament, so I feel like they'll probably get a good feel for card balance during that, and hopefully they'll do just more than one tournament. Hopefully they'll do a few, or, you know, hopefully they'll be pulling data from when they have the multiplayer going to see the most used cards and that type of stuff. So I think, at least I hope, that's exactly what they have on their agenda.
I wouldn't expect them to be making too many changes at this point, but they're a small company. I mean, their internal testing resources have got to be limited.
Very limited.
I think that's probably one of the reasons that they've elected to do such an early beta. We mentioned this either last podcast or the podcast before, that this is not something I would call a beta.
No, I don't think anybody here would call it. Yeah.
Not really a beta. But, you know, the benefit to that early exposure is getting a lot of data about a lot of stuff, about what systems people are running it on, about what cards they're choosing to play.
Yeah, I agree.
I hope they're using it.
You know, that'll lead us actually kind of into our next topic. Card balance is something we wanted to talk about in terms of generic per-level card balance to start.
Generic stats.
Generic stats, exactly.
The first time I noticed that some cards just seem either are very powerful or very weak given their respective levels. The biggest one that caught my eye was level 3 Glowstride Stag. And at 915, it seems very weak. The way I see average stats is it's 4-4 for level 1, 8-8 for a level 2, and 16-16 for a level 3. I've seen a lot of cards that sort of reflect this. Glowstride Stag just, its main purpose is to delay. It's to stall. And at 15 toughness, it doesn't do that. It just dies.
Yes, it does.
It gives you 15 health, sure, but that doesn't seem to me to offset the card disadvantage you gain from having him die to a level 3 without trading.
Right. And I think their idea behind that card was overall, you know, effective health. Effective health with 30 health, maybe more. I mean,
you mean total over every level, you get 30 health out of it?
Well, total of every level, level 3, because you're effectively blocking 15 potential points of damage.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know, in terms of Glowstride Stag's health, as well as 15, you gain 15 health when he played, and he's what, a 9?
9-15.
So, I think that No, his stats aren't exactly on par, but I think that if they made him a 15-15 or a 12-13 or 12-14 or anything else like that, I think he'd be too good.
Well, I'm not talking about increasing his attack. I'm talking about increasing his defense. So he just doesn't die on that first swing. Like something like a 9-18 or a 9-20.
I don't know if there's really that many creatures that would clear. I haven't not run a lot of statistics on strength, so I may be incorrect here, but I would expect there's... I'm kind of looking through some cards here and noticing there's a fair amount of level 3 cards that it seems like it would trade with over 2 turns.
Sure.
There's also a fair amount that will trade in 1 turn.
Even just a 9-17. Slightly above average stats. A lot of things kill it.
With that ability, I may be placing too much emphasis on it, maybe say I'm in my head, but the ability just seems so strong.
15 that, health?
Yeah.
Gaining health just isn't that powerful to me.
Really? I think it's very, very powerful. I think if you were to emphasize playing playing Glowside Stag every turn, all the way up until you hit your late game, just so you could build up Progreus or another fatty.
Sure. And that's the whole point.
Right, exactly. I think is very, very, very good. And I think that the health gain is something noticeable.
But at the same time, now you're pigeonholing him. He has to be put in a deck where you have to have a late game, a really strong late game. I mean, granted, that's generally where you're going to see him, but just making him useless everywhere else?
It's true. I mean, his level 1 stats are actually really disappointing. 3-5, I think, is kind of weak sauce.
I agree.
I would like
6-10 is nice. I mean, that's right on par with what you would expect from what that card does.
Yeah. But 3-5 is kind of a bummer because he really doesn't trade with anything. I can barely kill a Technosmith with it. So,
well, if you think about it, though, I mean, you look at Lightning Bolt. Lightning Bolt, level 3, you're looking at doing 12 damage.
I don't have a Lightning Bolt. Do you?
Lightning Spark?
Yeah, that's the one.
There we go. Let me just tap my red mana here real quick.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, so... you've got a card that, at level 3, I would consider Lightning Spark to be a fairly middle-of-the-road card.
Yeah.
And it's not going to remove Glowstride, and it's not even going to do as much damage as Glowstride gave you. To me, if you're looking at the strength of gaining health, because we have no other cards that are giving us health, the only thing we have to compare it to is cards that allow you to directly remove a player's health.
Right.
Right now, the only direct burn is Lightning Spark. At this point, the 12 damage at level 3, it's completely negated by Glowstride, and you've still got a block. To me, that makes that ability feel very strong. And certainly in the games where I've actually started playing it a little more. I never did. In the beginning, the early days, I never did. Like I said, Salmon came in and he made this whole post, and I think he won some game in some tournament.
Yeah, he placed very well in the last tournament with it. Techno Stag, as he calls it.
Yeah, and that deck kind of paradigm convinced me to give it a shot, and once I did, I realized that's actually a lot of health.
It is, but again, as Nelikan said, I think that the card is pigeonholed into being a late game stall wall card.
And yeah, what happens when you keep drawing close stags and not your beaters?
That's true too. I mean, but that's being said. No matter how much we may not want to see it, they are going to pigeonhole cards like that. You are going to see late game cards. You are going to see early game cards. You are going to see middle game cards.
You're probably going to see cards that are only good in limited.
Yeah, you are going to see cards that are only good in limited. Hunting pack. So.
really, I don't even consider that good in limited.
all right. So, but that you know that being said is that I hope. You know what we're getting at is that they take a look at all the cards before you know while they actually release all the cards and while we're in betas and they look at the base stats because I think that's where a lot of the balance comes in. I mean, sure, you've got busted cards that people are just loving to hate right now, like Zemus. Everybody seems to think that he's not going to make it into the game in the current form. That's what you told me.
Yeah, his level not three did. Level I didn't three even realize that.
So I think that there's a lot of revisions to be going through and. And I don't think they're going to, at least I hope they're not just going to overlook some cards like Glowstride Stag and say, no, it's fine as it is, when in actuality it could use 1 point of toughness buff at every level. Or even at the first level, a toughness and health bump, and then just health past that. I hope that they've got a huge task list, so to speak, and are looking at them.
Yeah, I mean, well, of course. We hope we're looking at all the cards and they're reevaluating at each stage how everything interacts with each other and the relative strength. And I think that's probably got to be difficult to do in a theoretical sense. It goes back to the point I made about the data sets. I don't know, you know, yeah, obviously we've all got opinions, and you guys have been around, you know. I believe that your opinion definitely has a lot of value, but we can't, I'm sure that there are people who disagree.
Yeah.
Outside of me, you know, people who have experience.
There are probably more people who disagree than agree with us, to be honest with you.
Now they just need to talk to us.
Yes, now if we just could, you know, make them angry enough about something we're talking about to yell at us.
I would, if something's going to do it, it's going to be Hunting Pack.
Yeah.
Our collective hate of that card, and we keep bashing on it every podcast.
Yep, I'm pretty sure there's probably some people out there that like Hunting Pack.
Yeah.
So.
But what's also funny is that this card might already be different.
It may already be different in testing, that's for sure.
And to be fair, if you like Hunting Pack, we won't hold it against you. You can still be a fan. You can still use it.
Yeah. By all means, play it against
us. You can definitely choose to play that card against us. We will love that. Just don't proc it. The next section, I guess, that we were going to kind of talk about on this Forgecast was the deck of the week. And we actually do not have a deck this week, but this will be the first time we're actually going to announce it. So anybody who is listening or follows us on Twitter or on Facebook, go ahead and create a deck with our deck builder and then shoot it over to us, tweet it to us, contact, however you want to get it to us, get it to us. And then we'll talk about it. We definitely get our thoughts about it. We'll analyze it and, you know, let you know what we think about it or how we think we could maybe improve on it or how we hate it because it's amazing or whatever it may be. That'll be what our next week is what we'll touch on.
We will try not to pick it apart and call you stupid.
Yeah, we will definitely not call you stupid, but we will call out the bad choices in cards in comparison to other cards. So the next thing that I guess we're going to talk about is just some small things. The Forge Gamer site did get a quick interface revamp. You may or may not have noticed that. We did kind of switch over to something else looking forward. And we also do have some cool stuff coming in terms of Forge Gamer tools, so kind of keep your eye out for that. The last thing I want to touch on is that if anybody was watching me Lovecore stream the other day, Murden was my player too, and we were talking, and I kind of let it said that we were going to do a competition. And we are going to do a Grimgaunt competition. So it is going to be a 2-week-long competition to see who can have the biggest Grimgaunt, the biggest powered Grimgaunt. I don't care what the health is, but it has to be the highest power Grimgaunt, highest attack. And the stipulations for this are, it is going to be, you are going to have to play against computer normal, and you have to use, are we going to do the demo deck? You have to use the demo deck?
The demo deck. Yes. I'd prefer that it was limited to PC beta. Now, in theory, if they're playing the demo deck versus the demo deck on computer normal on the iPad, it should be the same.
Yes.
I guess we'll have to, we'll have a post with very official rules.
Yeah, you can check the official rules up at Forge Gamers.
But that's what I'd like to see is people playing on the PC beta against computer normal.
Yes. And you know, at the end of this two weeks, we are going to give away, I think we decided that we were just going to do a $10 in Steam credit, iTunes credit, or Google Play credit. So that's what it'll be, kind of something fun just to get the community engaged and over to us. So there it is. That's the first promotion that you're going to see from Forge Gamers.
Yeah, and to touch on a couple things. We've already seen people talking about this a little bit, and I've seen some pretty impressive Grimgaunts already, so expect the bar of competition to be high.
Yeah.
I also expect, just mention that if we do have a tie for first place, I expect that we would use health as a tiebreaker.
Yes, we will be using health as a tiebreaker, and we want your full screenshot. I don't want the entire thing. I don't want just a snippet of your Grimgaunt. I want the entire screenshot.
Yeah, the whole thing, and we'll have an address that you can send that to that we'll post in the official rules.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it will be a lot of fun. It'll be the first of probably many of these quirky little competitions we plan on actually doing to get us by until we have a real online beta or a tournament system where we can run Forge Games tournaments.
Speaking of your stream, we should mention that a little bit, as I know we haven't really talked about it a ton.
We haven't. Yeah, so if you actually swing over to Forge Gamers, myself, Lovecore, Nelikin, Mirrodin, and Sailman Reborn are all streaming. We are all streaming. So if you are bored and you do need that Forge Gamer or that Soulforge fix, stop on over and then check us out. We're always in the stream. We're always kind of chit-chatting away with people or playing with Player 2. And even if you want to be Player 2, let us know. Cool. You can be Player 2. It'll be a field day.
I love this about streams is that it's very, very easy to get somebody to come in on a Skype call and just play against you on stream.
Yeah, I love it.
And you and I did it the other night, and I had a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was a blast.
And you can do that anywhere. And I don't know about you guys, but I expect that most of our Forge Gamer staff would be happy to play with just about anybody who wanted to come in and stop up and say, hey, let's play a game.
You know? And that's just, you know, as soon as the PC demo catches up to the iOS demo, it'll be even better.
Yeah, well,
because
then
they'll have the additional decks and everything. Yeah. So it's definitely going to be really fun, and we're not bad people to hang out with, I assure you.
Despite
our hunting package. other than that, I think we had kind of touched on everything we wanted to. Is there anything else?
I think that's enough for this one.
Yeah, I think
I'd say that about wraps it up for this week.
Yeah, that will wrap it up for this week. So again, check us out over at ForgeGamers.com. You know, if you have any questions or concerns, tweet, Facebook, Steam us, contact us, however you want to get in touch with us, let us know. I'm Lovecore.
Nelikin.
Meredith.
And that was ForgeCast 7, guys.